and an end to racist policies. And I find it extraordinarily sad that at this time in our human history, we are still being told that we have to accept racist policies because it is racist to place one community above another. That is racism. And we are told we have to accept racism because it is realistic. No, we rejected slavery, we rejected apartheid, and we stand together now to reject racism. If you call that unrealistic, then let's demand the impossible.
Michael Lane.
Well, you know, I think I heard it twice now, including the ending there. Let's demand the impossible. Well, if we're conceding that it's impossible, you know, you may indeed get where you want to be sometime, but you're looking at something that is decades and decades and decades down the road. Now, it may be that that even a reasonable two-state solution is decades down the road. I would certainly hope not. In your setup piece, you mentioned that because relations between Tel Aviv and Washington are at a historic low, that it may be until the next U.S. elections with a new president before we can get peace talks back on track. I actually believe that's the case. I don't believe that Obama has the Obama administration is the solution to the problem. In fact, I think they're probably a contributor to the problem. The way they treat with disdain our alleged ally, Israel, and Prime Minister Netanyahu. So, you know, do we want the whole loaf in one big bite, which may take 100 years or we may never get there? Or do we want to make progress that will be beneficial to all concerned and will bring peace and opportunity to the Palestinian people? I think that's the real overriding objective. Once we have peace and opportunity, then they can continue to go after their own objectives. No one says they have to stop at that point. They can continue to go.
Rani Masrik.
You know, I find it stunning how we can define peace and not define equality. There can never be peace without equality. There can never be peace without justice. And this term of opportunity, that's just become a new propaganda word for neoliberalism economics. And that is also rejected. I also find it very odd that it is always the strong that asks the weak to compromise on our human rights. And no, human rights cannot be compromised on. Human rights cannot be compromised on. The Palestinians have nothing left to compromise, and it should not be remarkable for us to basically ask for our human rights. Why does the Israeli government find that to be so threatening? This idea of a one-state binational solution where we live in peace together as equals. And if we remember, the South African government, when it was suffering under a political apartheid system, also found itself very scared of providing political equality to the indigenous communities in South Africa. They were scared of what would happen to them were they to drop the racist institutional laws. And we need to feel liberated by equality, not being scared by equality. We know it as Americans when we look at what has happened in the United States, where we're still suffering from institutionalized discrimination and police brutality. Do we ask African Americans to simply be patient as another African American man is killed every 28 hours by police brutality in the United States? Or do we strive for equality? I say let's be very, very specific in our language. Let's put aside this propaganda, empty words of peace and opportunity. Let's speak instead for something that we hold very dear. And what we hold very dear is the idea that all of us as human beings are created equal. We demand equality, we demand justice, we demand to live together side by side, as has been the historical experience in the Middle East. The experience in the Middle East has not been one of religious division. Religious division has only erupted very recently historically. We have been living for centuries, Jew and Muslim and Christian side by side. That is what we call for, equality. And that is our right. And that is what we should be striving for, not being told again and again to wait another 2 years for a possibility of a settlement, while every single day in the West Bank and in Jerusalem, another Palestinian is killed by the Israeli occupation. And while every single day we still have destruction of Gaza that has yet to be rebuilt after the Israeli massacres throughout the summer, and we still still have U.S. taxpayer money and European support being given to the Israeli military and to the Israeli state that is predicated and based on racism and ethnic cleansing. It's about time that we say enough of this and we stand together in pursuit of equality and justice. That is what we are asking for. And if anyone is scared by this prospect of equality, it is they that need to question their own morality. It is they that need to question why they are scared and not ask the Palestinians to be patient and to compromise further and to give up on our human rights. We refuse to give up on our human rights.
Michael Lane?
I would not ask anyone to give up on their human rights. I would not ask anyone to give up on their goals, their desires, their ambitions, their dreams. Of course, that's a wonderful thing. You know, that was a beautiful statement about how everybody's going to live in peace and harmony together in a unistate circumstance. Absolutely. If I was a magician, I would take my magic wand and I would wave it and I would say, so be it. And that's the way it's all going to be. But of course, I'm not a magician and I don't have a magic wand and I don't believe anybody else there has a magic wand even either. So, you know, the last thing I would say is the comments about the history of the region being that Jews and Muslims will live together in peace forever and ever and ever. Well, you know, there was periods of history where there has been peace, but the most recent history is not like that. And I don't see any indication on the horizon that there's even the slightest possibility that the two sides could live in peace in a unistate solution at this point. It would be internal civil war, much worse than it is now.
Well, Ronnie Musi, I need to ask you, why was it that you think the PA came up saying this full withdrawal,
yes,
first of all, whatever that really means, if you can, maybe you can tell us, and for it not to exceed November 2016. How did this notion of 2 years come about and the way that this has been presented and in terms of the timing of this all?
Well, again, there's nothing new about it. We've been told 2 years since 1993. And what we see, I believe, the objective of this resolution is, again, not really a creation of a Palestinian state through these pathetic borders that they want to grant the Palestinians while the Israeli settlements continue to expand and while all that we're left in the West Bank are small, small, small little ghettos divided by large walls, much larger than the Berlin Wall. The objective of these resolutions is, again, just to maintain the peace process, just to decrease any kind of international tension and international pressure that's placed upon the Israeli state so that the Israeli state can continue with its policy of ethnic cleansing that it has been maintaining consistently since 1948. That, I believe, is the ultimate objective of this resolution, to weaken international pressure against the Israeli state while the Israeli state continues to do this. Again, if the European community, if American leaders, if any of these international governments were actually sincere about wanting for peace, the resolution is very clear. Implementation of international law, an end to occupation, right of return of Palestinian refugees, an end to racism, and they would couple that with restrictions and punitive pressures on the state of Israel, which is what this committee, this international committee in the UN Security Council, would have done possibly to other communities were they not this ally that the Israeli state has become. That is what the resolution would look like if they actually wanted peace. This is a resolution that wants a process of peace and not peace.
Okay, so based on this, Michael Lane, what Rania Masri is saying, obviously very passionate about it, I'm curious as to whether the Palestinians on the ground have reached that point. We know that tensions are high in the occupied territories. We know, and I think it was Rania Masri a few weeks back said, there's definitely a third intifada, at least in East Jerusalem al-Quds. And the PA has come out saying that, you know, if there's going to be a veto on this from the U.S., this may translate to more tensions on the ground. Do you think that that point will be reached if this is going to be vetoed by the U.S.?
You know, I really can't predict how the reaction on the street will be if the United States vetoes this resolution. Let me say, first of all, I don't expect the resolution to come to a vote before the Israeli elections in March. I think that Secretary Kerry again gets it right when he says that this will only strengthen Prime Minister Netanyahu's hand, and President Obama and Secretary Kerry would like to weaken Prime Minister Netanyahu's hand. So I think they'll find some way to put this off until after. I could be wrong about that, but I think they'll find some way to put it off until after the Israeli elections. Should it come to a U.S. veto, the reaction on the street among the Palestinians is something I can't predict. I don't think that past intifadas have been successful in achieving their objectives. I think there's a great deal of loss of life. There's a great deal of suffering. I would like to see that avoided. Clearly, both sides, okay, if we're going to have a negotiated solution,
I gotta jump in
to this,
and get Rania
both
Masri
sides need
for
to give
a final statement here. I apologize, Michael. Rania Masri, is Mahmoud Abbas part of the problem?
Is Mahmoud Abbas part of the problem? Is that your question?
Yes. 30 seconds.
Yes, very much so. One, his presidency has expired. Second, he views the security coordination with Israel to be more important than the liberation struggle. We have a word for this security coordination. It's called treason. So yes, what we're struggling for is a legitimate, representative, unified Palestinian leadership. Unfortunately, we don't have that yet. But the Palestinian people throughout the land of Palestine and throughout the refugee camps have made their demands very clear. And their demand is for equality, and the tensions are rising in response to Israeli brutality. And it won't be a reaction to what is expected to be a U.S. veto and what is expected to be more empty words from European parliamentarians.
Thank you very much. Human rights advocate Rania Masri there talking to us from Beirut, and founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, thank you, who spoke to us from Washington. Thanks so much for tuning into another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tavwe and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.